I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the TJ Show. How about this exorcism prayer from today's Mass? The Lord has put angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91, the oldest exorcism prayer in the Holy Bible. Terry, are you on duty?
I am on duty, reporting for duty, sir, and I just finished doing some push-ups. I'm ready to do my spiritual push-ups here at the Terry and Jesse Show. At age 62, Jess, God has given me physical health to serve.
Terry, you move like a 30-year-old. I'm serious.
Get out of here.
You have the energy of a 30-year-old.
I have the energy, yeah. But hey, Jess, I just want to tell you, I'm so blessed to be here because we get to proclaim spiritual truths about our Catholic faith every day. And I want to thank again our listeners who support Virgin Most Powerful. Sometimes we have to talk about things that are uncomfortable, but you know, this is what we have to do. We can't shy away from being silent. And we're going to be talking about Archbishop Vigano as an example of someone who can't be silent about speaking the truth in charity. But before we do all of that, Jess, let's open our books, because this is our good book, the Bible, because this is the Feast of Guardian Angel. And we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. And I'm going to give a quote after, Jesse, about the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the teachings on the angels, because, brother, for years, many people, the last 50 years, they've had a lot of these theologians trying to explain away that it really isn't angels, good or bad angels. And that's just really a bad idea. But let's talk about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Matthew, Jess.
That's more than a bad idea. That's heresy.
It is. It's worse than a bad idea.
Yeah, it's revealed by God. And when somebody's revealed by God and you deny it, you're a heretic.
And they've been doing it for many decades. And that's why we got to speak out with the truth.
And those heretics are called modernists. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. The Holy Bible says, the disciples approached Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called the child over, placed it in their midst, and said, amen, I say to you. Again, when Jesus says amen, listen up, because he's going to talk to you about how to get to heaven. This is always a reference to soteriology, the study of salvation. He says, amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Yep. And he says, and by the way, the fathers of the church, the unanimous consent is that this was Ignatius of Antioch, the boy who grew up to become the second or third bishop of Antioch, Syria, St. Ignatius of Antioch. Yep. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Now, here we go into the beatific vision, verse 10. It shows the way that angels have this already, this face-to-face fellowship to God. What the bad angels lost, it was promised to all the angels, but the rebellious angels, because they didn't obey God, they rebelled, they lost the possibility of ever having seen God face-to-face, what we call the beatific vision. It says here, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, the point is, the Bible, especially in verse 10, the Bible portrays God's angels as protectors, as guides, and as messengers and helpers of God's people. And the elect angels already participate in glory in heaven as they see God face to face. We call that the beatific vision. And the Catechism tells us that they see God right now face to face in the beatific vision. Paragraph 329, 336. And this verse, that in verse 10 of Matthew 18, the evidence based on the fathers of the church, they teach that God assigns everyone an angel to watch over him throughout their earthly life. And in verses 1 to 5, what it's talking about here is this type of humility like a child. This means that we have to totally depend on God. That's what's required to be saved, to enter into the kingdom. Childlike simplicity is especially demanded of the apostles who must lead the church with a spirit of servanthood and humility. Terry, take it away.
Jesse, the quotes from the catechism you just referred to, paragraph 328 to 336, tell all about the angels. But 330 says, a purely spiritual creatures, angels have intelligence and will. They are personal and immortal creatures, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures, as the splendor of their glory bears witness. Now, Jess, here's an action item that my wife and I have done for 30 years. Every single day we pray our angel prayer. O angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here forever this day, be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide. From sinful stain, O keep me free, and in death's hour my helper be. I want to give you an action item for your kids and for your grandchildren. Say that prayer by name. So for example, your name might be John. Okay, O angel of God, guardian dear, to whom God's love commits him here. John, name your child's name. Every day say that prayer, the guardian angel prayer, for your son or daughter or grandchild. This is a really good practice. And I'll tell you why. The angels, like Jess said, are for protection. So why not call on your kids' angels every single day as part of your devotion? That's my suggestion today, Jess.
Beautiful suggestion. And also, you know, in today's gospel, mm-hmm. where it talks about, you know, having this childlike faith in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 5.
Yeah.
That if we want to get to heaven, we have to have this childlike docility, this childlike faith.
Right.
Think about children. They don't wonder where their food's going to come from, okay?
Yeah.
And as children of God, we know where our food comes from. It comes from Holy Mother Church.
Amen.
It's the seven sacraments, specifically the Holy Eucharist. Another thing about children, they trust that their parents are going to provide for them everything that they need. Well, as children of Holy Mother Church and children of God, we also trust that Holy Mother Church, through God, is going to give us all the graces necessary for salvation in our state of life. Terry?
Jesse, I just want to quote Fulton Sheen. Bring Bishop Sheen in, please. Full Sheen ahead. Jess, on the 6th of October, the Senate is starting for the Senate on the Amazon. And I thought to myself, if Bishop Sheen was alive or St. John Paul II was alive, what would they give as advice to the fathers that are meeting in the Vatican? Here's what I think Bishop Sheen would say. Gentlemen, moral principles do not depend on the majority vote. Wrong is wrong, even if everybody is wrong. Right is right, even if nobody is right. And then, Jesse, I thought of one more quote from St. John Paul II the Great. What would he tell the fathers? Well, he said it back in 1984 in March. He said this. He prophesied that priests would suffer for opposing remarriage. Yeah, he said that it's a very big mistake to presume the Catholic teachings on marriage is but an ideal and in need of modification. Jesse, he said that back in 1984. He said, make no mistake. When your teaching is faithful to the magisterium of the church, you are not teaching something that men and women cannot understand, even men and women today. Indeed, this teaching which you make resound in the ears is already written in their hearts. Now, why do I say this? This was 32 years ago, because some people in the highest levels of the church are suggesting that marriage is an ideal. So I think the man's prophetic, Bishop Sheen too. So that's my advice, not me personally, taking it from Fulton J. Sheen and St. John Paul II, to say basically that we need to stick to the perennial teachings of the church. And I hope they take the advice of Fulton Sheen and Pope John Paul II.
Well, Terry, I would side with a saint and a venerable any day.
Me too, brother.
Against anybody walking on planet Earth right now. Hey, I'm just saying.
You're right.
Yeah. Hey, Terry, this weekend I'm going to try to get some more listeners.
Good. Where are you going this time?
I get listeners all the time.
Yep.
Going to Lowell, Massachusetts. I'm going to the Hope Conference this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be there giving several presentations. If you have family members out there, just invite them to the Hope Conference in Lowell, Massachusetts. Go to my website for more details as to the location. And also next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to be at St. Louis de Montfort Catholic Church in Santa Maria, California. That's Tuesday and Wednesday, giving an English and a Spanish parish mission on State of Grace.
Awesome.
and that, which is my favorite topic. That's what I talk all over the country on. And that always entails spiritual warfare. And finally, I'm looking for 50 people. I'm getting people to sign up.
Poland, baby.
To go and meet a Poland, May 13th to the 22nd. 9 days. Let's go get holy or die trying. I am preparing such incredible lectures and Bible studies for our Poland trip.
Good.
9 days together, daily holy mass, sacraments. We're going to see some of the most incredible shrines and incredible saints. We're going to be there having mass on their tombs, praying for Holy Mother, the church. Go to my website for more information. The flyer is on the front page.
Awesome. Terry. And don't forget, as your spiritual fitness trainers, we have this 9-day novena going on for the Amazon Senate. Now, we each holy hour we have at our chapel before the Blessed Sacraments from 7 to 8 o'clock. So we'd love to have you come. If you can't make the holy hour, make it at home. Make it somewhere at your chapel, our church, because we need prayers right now. The church is desperately in need of our sacrifices and prayers for our leaders in our church. Joe, Jesse, I have a kind of a funny way of saying it. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. See, so I'm not the magisterial part of it. You know, I'm not a bishop. I'm not a priest. You know, I'm just a layman who loves Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And I love my wife and family, and I'm trying to get them to heaven. But, you know, when I see my bride, which is the sense of the church, I see the church faltering because of false teachings. And I mean, I'm just calling for what it is. I feel like Vigano, who we're going to talk later, Archbishop Vigano, about why he can't be silent. I can't be silent when our church is being torn apart by error. No. So we need your support with your prayers and your sacrifices. When we come back, we're going to talk about another issue that'll blow you away, but you have to be aware of it. And when we come back, after you get a cup of coffee or some tea, you will be impressed. And later in the show,
it's called repressed memory.
Well, you told it. It's repressed memory. What the heck is that? When we come back, you're going to find out. Here at Terry and Jesse on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great." And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Genesis 1:27 says, "God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them." According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Terry and Jesse Show, clarity with charity. That's, you know, that's what we're known for, Terry. We,
yep.
speaking the truth in charity. We're not right versus left. We're right versus wrong.
Amen.
Terry, here's a term, repressed memory, that is used a lot oftentimes. I know good, holy Catholic priests that have been accused of things that were basically made up out of whole cloth.
Of course.
And the people are trying to use this this unscientific method called repressed memory. In fact, there's a very holy priest, Father Edward Perrone. He's out of the Diocese of Detroit, right. Michigan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This guy is a stellar priest. He's been yanked from duty, so he's not reporting for duty, sir, right now.
Nope.
Because he's being investigated because there's an adult man who's recently accused him of sexual improprieties of a 40-year-old event, and the victim is saying that he remembers this because something triggered his repressed memory. And a lot of people believe it's a political hip job. They say this priest is one of the holiest priests.
He is. I know him personally.
On planet Earth.
Yep.
I mean, he's Orthodox.
Yep.
And a lot of people believe, Father Perrone maintains his innocence.
Yep.
And they just believe it's a good way to get, this is a way to get a good priest out, because Father Perrone has been very active for decades in getting rid of being a whistleblower in his diocese.
For what?
And getting rid of the homosexual Lavender Mafia. Terry, you know him.
I know him, and Jess, that's a, and he's also personal friends of Father John Hardin, the Jesuit.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay?
Then.
And so he got in trouble, and also the Opus Angelorum, he let them use the rectory there for about 20 years. So, I mean, birds of the feather flocking together. They needed this guy out, and they make up some accusations. And Jesse, this is what's going on. You know, you and I both have close priest friends. One of them,
there's
Jesse,
one that just passed away,
yes.
Terry.
Okay, his name's Father Mike Sears, a friend of ours for years. I knew him as a seminarian. Jess, this man was accused of misconduct, and I'm going to be personal. I'm saying it now. He died. He's hopefully in heaven. But are we praying for him? His situation is a woman that I knew accused him of misconduct, right? Sexual misconduct. And then she actually recanted and said, no, I made it up. That's not true. Now, this priest went through years of being taken out of his ministry, suffering greatly, Jesse. You know that. We helped pay for his canon lawyer to help him defend himself. And it just was a bad deal all the way around. But here's the bottom line. Even though this man was innocent, all right, it was pretty obvious that the girl recanted, he still wasn't able to get back into his priestly ministry. And that's just plain wrong. So here's the bottom line. If you're an Orthodox priest, especially if you like the Latin Mass, you like the traditional teachings of the church, there's people out there that say, we got to take him out. And in Father Perrone's situation, not Father Mike's, but Father Perrone's situation was that he did have a Latin Mass. He had all kinds of traditional Catholics coming, and it was a packed church wherever he would say Mass. And this was a way of getting rid of him. That's my take on it, Jess.
Terry, even Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, he also, I think he knew Father Perrone, because he says in this article that he said the corrupt gay mafia had a longtime animus towards the traditional, doctrinally Orthodox Father Perrone.
Absolutely.
And so even Archbishop Vigano weighed in on this. He knows about this man, and he knows about his reputation.
Yep.
And Father Perrone had taken it in the chin like just a white martyr. He says it's been very difficult.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of support from people, and it's been very encouraging. Beautiful letters written to me, masses, rosaries, and all that's been very good and consoling. And again, he's maintaining his innocence. But why do we bring this up, Terry? I'll tell you why. Because there's an academic journal article that says repressed memories, this repressed memory psychology is bogus.
Exactly, and it is.
Yep. There's a Harvard professor, Richard J. McNally, talking about repressed memories. He published this journal article. Remember, journal articles are for the eggheads, okay? That's how eggheads talk to each other.
Exactly.
It's called Child Maltreatment in the American Professional Society on the Abuse of Children, by Dr. David Corwin, Dr. Richard McNally.
Mm-hmm.
And in this article, here's some of the short things it says. The cash value is this, the one sentence. It says, the notion that traumatic events can be repressed and later recovered is the most pernicious, which means dangerous, the most pernicious bit of folklore ever to infect psychology and psychiatry.
They buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, he says, repressed memory has provided the theoretical basis for recovered memory therapy, the worst catastrophe to befall the mental health field since the lobotomy era. So he's saying, you know, a lobotomy, taking out your brain and, you know,
yeah,
he's throwing it away.
He's being funny.
This is about, this repressed memory is about as efficacious or as good as a lobotomy, taking out your brain and throwing it in the trash. Terry?
Jesse, I've got some experience on this from people that are friends of mine who have told that they go to this therapist, and the therapist starts telling them, you were probably abused as a child, and you probably don't remember, but think back when you were 4 or 5 years old. And then they start describing a uncle. Can you see this happening to you? And they start giving suggestions, and the girl goes, oh, yeah, that must have happened to me.
The power of suggestion.
Exactly. And this is what they're doing to people, Jesse.
That's what witches do, Terry, also. Witches and parlors and healers and psychics, yeah. They start suggesting things to their victims, to their low-information, low-hanging fruit victims, and the people start saying,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. How did you know? That did happen to me.
Yeah,
that's exact technique.
It's just wrong. And you know what, Jesse? This is what people are being convinced.
It's junk science, Terry.
It is. And it's time to just call it out. It's just time.
And let's not forget, I always mention this. Father Mitch Pacwa said that.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy.
Psychology, psychiatry, and sociology, yeah. Its roots come from the French Revolution. Those Enlightenment liberals that denied the supernatural,
right,
and denied the authority of the church. So they had to come up with an alternate magisterium. So their alternate magisterium, those French Revolution liberals, was to set up psychology, psychiatry, and sociology as the alternate magisterium to the Catholic Church, to the Holy Bible, to the supernatural, Terry.
Yep. Well said, Jesse. It's just time to call it out. And let's just face it. What happened when people started going to therapists? They forgot to be going. They stopped going to confession. You know, and we replaced confession with a visit to the therapist. Okay, I know that some people are going to get mad at me as saying that. Jess, look at the lines at the confessional. Very small. And look at the lines of the therapist. You got it.
Very large.
And you know what's interesting, Jesse, on a side note? Guess what country, guess what city has the largest amount of therapists in the world? You ready? Buenos Aires. Just a thought. As the largest amount of therapists in the entire world is Buenos Aires, Argentina.
That's where Pope Francis, and
of course Pope Francis did see a therapist. And I'm not saying it's not bad. It's bad to go see a therapist when you need it. All I'm trying to say is it's an explosion that took place, and I believe many of these therapists are taking advantage of people by using this repression of memory.
Now, I would go see a therapist only in two instances. He would have to be a practicing Catholic
therapist.
Believes
in original sin.
Who was steeped in St. Thomas philosophy.
And there's many of them out there like that.
Yeah, there is a lot of them out there. I know a lot of them. Mm-hmm. They would have to, in other words, they would have to believe, again, like Terry says, that we are born with original sin and that we're struggling with concupiscence, and that grace is what elevates us to fight against concupiscence. If I found a Catholic therapist like that, which there are many, I would go to him, but I would not go to a secular therapist and sit there on a couch.
No way.
And have him try to fill my brain with Nietzsche and B.F. Skinner and William, Kinsey and all this other stuff in my, no, not me. It ain't happening. Terry, so this article is essentially saying several doctors, I think it says here, it got a number like 200 and.
It was hundreds. Yeah.
Yeah, 260 psychologists and psychiatrists,
right,
psychiatrists identified by the Institute for Scientific Information as highly cited. So there's a tsunami of psychologists and psychiatrists that are saying repressed memory is bogus.
Yep.
And the reason they're saying this is because I guess there was a court case called Nicole Toss versus Elizabeth Loftus at Solano County Superior Court, where the judge accepted the testimony of a Jane Doe, and the person used was called repressed memory. That was the argument they used in a court of law, and apparently convicted the other person. So there's an avalanche of psychologists and psychiatrists that wrote to the court and says, hey, guess what? This is bogus. You need to reverse your decision. This is not scientific. This is science fiction.
Well said, Jesse. And
right?
Yeah, it's just, I'm tired of it. And, you know, here's what we've replaced our whole teachings on. Psychology, and there's a series that we did years ago, Psychology Friend or Foe, with William Colson. And he just nailed it. We started explaining everything in psychological terms rather than in biblical terms. We threw out the Bible and we put therapists in its place. And I just think it's time to call them out and say, let's go back to their old time religion, as Monsignor Charles Pope calls it, and go back to what I say this, Jesse, and this is just what we believe. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, man has not been in harmony with God, with nature, or even with himself, because the original harmony or justice, as the Catechism calls it, has been disrupted by original sin. St. Paul goes as far as to call the deprivation of harmony a war. The flesh is now warring against the spirit. And just theologians call this lack of harmony concupiscence. How long have you been talking about concupiscence here on the Terry?
Forever and a day.
There you go.
Terry, I got a psychiatrist that just texted me.
Okay.
Dr. Luis Sandoval.
He's a good man.
He's a psychiatrist, and he's also on the healing, deliverance, and exorcism team over in his diocese.
Yes.
He says, Jesse, this is true. Repressed memories are just like eyewitness accounts or personal accounts of trauma, as seen in the legal field.
Yep.
The brain will try to fit in the blanks of the situation as best as possible, but not always accurately.
There you go.
So Dr. Luis is weighing in.
Thank you for your input.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dr.
And matter of fact, Jesse, he's going to be at the Spiritual Warfare Conference coming up January 11th at St. Christopher's Church in West Covina. If you haven't registered for the event, I suggest you go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can call 877-526-2151. We've got lots of good people coming for that one event.
Yep. Well, Terry, this repressed memory, once again, it's a lot of people, a lot of liberals use it against people they don't like. It's a political hit job. They use it against a lot of good Catholic priests.
Yep.
It has no scientific basis. It's been repudiated by most psychologists and psychiatrists. There's a journal article written upon it. And again, it's the equivalent to a lobotomy, according to this one doctor. He says it's bogus science.
We're going to talk about Archbishop Vigano right when we come back.
We have an exciting story for you to listen to, the story of John Pridmore. John Pridmore was a hitman for the gangs in East London.
I met some guys who seemed to have everything that I thought would make you happy. So I started working for these people. So to my shame, I was involved in vicious crime of all sorts.
He collected debts for the gangs. And if people didn't pay their debts, it was his job to kill them.
And as I drove home that night, I thought, what have I become that I could kill someone and not even care?
He was in the elevator on his way up to the 17th floor, and there was a 17-year-old young man in the elevator with him. Suddenly, this young man looked John right in the eye, and he said, Jesus loves you.
And I said the first prayer I'd ever said. I said, up to now, all I've done is take from you, God. Now I want to give.
Within a year, by the grace of God, John was able to get out of the gang and be freed from this road to hell that he had been walking on. Go to Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel and listen to this story today.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Terry, you read a book you've been sharing with me about. What is it? Give us the title.
It's called Vigano versus the Vatican. It's the uncensored testimony of an Italian journalist who helped break the story. And Jesse, I did finish.
What's the overview of the book?
The overview of the book is basically taking the three letters that Vigano wrote regarding the corruption inside the church. And the one I'd like to focus on right now is, you know, he's coming out. They say Vigano speaks out. Well, back on October 19th, almost a year ago, it was his strongest document, and I say his most important one. It was on the memorial of the North American martyrs. Listen to this and see if this isn't a man that doesn't inspire you, Jess Romero, and our listeners. He says, the decision to testify to the corruption of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church was painful for me, and it remains so. But I'm an old man, one who knows that soon he must give an account to the judge of his actions and omissions. One who fears him, who can throw body and soul into hell, the judge, who, although he is infinitely merciful, will render each one according to his merit and an eternal reward or punishment. See, here's the point, Jess. This man inspires me because, you know, right now we don't have to be talking about this.
He has fear of hell, Terry.
Yes, and so do I, Jesse.
Yeah. He has omissions. Fear of hell.
Yeah, and anticipating the terrible questions from that judgment. How are you able to, he says this, how were you able, you who knew the truth, to remain silent in the midst of such falsehood and depravity? What response would I have been able to give? In other words, he said, Jesse, if I didn't say anything, if I said nothing, I got a lot to account for before. He said, I spoke in full knowledge that my testimony would provoke alarm and dismay among the many persons in the church. He said, yet I believe that my continued silence would have placed many souls in danger and would have certainly condemned my own. Although I had reported these actions about McCarrick many times to my superiors and even to the Pope himself, I could have publicly spoken earlier about the truth that I knew. If I bear responsibility for this delay, I'm sorry. This delay was due to my gravity of my decision that I was taking. Jesse, here's the bottom line. This man, tomorrow we're going to talk with Monsignor Charles Pope, talking about this third letter and what he has to say about it. But what inspires me is for 60 years of my life, 50, 60 years, we've had all kinds of problems going on as in my own lifetime in the church. And I've looked the other way and I've said, oh, that couldn't be going on. I knew Malachi Martin. I knew Father Enrique Rueda, who wrote The Homosexual Network back in the 80s. And I kept
you knew John Venari.
I knew John Venari. I knew all these guys.
Michael Davies.
I knew Michael Davies. Right. All these guys that I had contact with. And I said, no, no. And so I got red-pilled. And so I'm realizing that this is what Archbishop Vigano is saying, that the successor of Peter refuses to exercise his principal mission, which is to confirm the brethren in faith and sound morals. When he has then evocated this crisis by giving contradictory messages or making ambiguous statements, the confusion has only worsened. Here, and this is the last thing I'll say, Justin, I want to hear your thoughts. Therefore, he said, I spoke because it is the conspiracy of silence that has caused and continues to cause enormous damage to Holy Church. So many innocent souls, young priests, vocations, we know that, Jess, we've seen them, and faithful in general, in view of my decision, which I made in conscience before God, I willingly accept every fraternal correction, counsel, recommendation, and invitation. And again, Jesse, this sounds like a humble man who's bearing his heart out and saying, the emperor has no clothes on. That's what I hear. What's your take?
Every bishop that I've talked to that knows him, like mine, knows him personally,
man
says
of integrity.
This guy is a holy, pious, orthodox prelate.
That's right.
They said that this guy is as good as they come, Terry.
Yeah.
Top of the food chain. Every bishop that I talk to that knows him. You know what he's doing? He's following in the footsteps of the Jewish prophets.
Yeah, he is.
The Jewish prophets, when they see the leadership go corrupt, you know, Queen Jezebel and her husband, I think King Ahaz, prophets confront corruption.
That's right.
This is the tradition also of Jesus in the New Testament. He saw the true church, Israel, you know, the successors of Moses, gone corrupt. Call the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus confronted and rebuked them. And I also see what Archbishop Vigano is doing. It's much like what St. Peter did in the book of Galatians, St. Paul.
Yeah, St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Did to St. Peter in the book of Galatians chapter 2. Okay, he confronted him to his face. He rebuked him because he was out of line with his own teaching. And so one of the articles that I have here, Vigano speaks, the infiltration is real. He validates Taylor Marshall's book.
He does.
So Taylor Marshall gets a big kudos for that. And it says here, as the Amazon Synod looms near, the malefic spirit seems to have brought with it seven other spirits more deadly. Everywhere we hear the klaxon calls warning of heresy, apostasy, and schism, two powerful traditionalist prelates, Cardinal Raymond Burke and Bishop Athanasius Snyder, have called for 40 days of prayer and fasting to drive those spirits out of the church. Publicly, the article says Pope Francis is playing it cool, says he's just a copycat of Pope John Paul II and a faithful implementer of Vatican II. Yeah. You ask the Holy Father and he'll say it's an honor that they're attacking him. The article says he almost dares them to keep raising their voices and playing with fire. Pope Francis says, quote, I pray that schisms do not happen, but I'm not afraid of them. Close quote. He defiantly declares, warning the, quote, schools of rigidity, that their pseudo-schismatic ways always end badly, close quote. And Pope Francis is saying that because he knows the Amazon Synod may provoke a schism, Archbishop Vigano said in another interview with Robert Moynihan from Le Osservatore Romano, he says,
inside Vatican,
Archbishop Vigano said this in the interview, quote, he is ready, the Pope is ready to say others are making the schism, but by his actions in continuing to support the Amazon Synod, he is provoking it himself. Is this the attitude of a pastor who cares for the faithful? It is his own duty to prevent a schism. That's Archbishop Vigano. Terry?
Well, Jesse, in his letter, the third letter, he makes it clear many souls have been placed and are still in danger of losing their eternal salvation. That's why he's doing this. He could have retired and stayed quiet in some nice place for the rest of his life. No. He said, regarding the second silence, this is a very grave crisis, cannot be properly faced and resolved until we call things by their true name. I love his directness. This is a crisis caused by the scourge of what? Homosexuality in those who practice it, in its politics and its resistance of being correct. And I love what he says here, Jesse. He says, it's not an exaggeration to say that homosexuality has become a plague in the clergy that can be eradicated only with spiritual weapons. I love this guy's language. He's a military man, as far as I can see. It is an enormous hypocrisy to condemn abuse, to speak of tears for the victims, and yet refuse to denounce the principal cause of so much sexual abuse, homosexuality. It is hypocrisy, he says, to refuse to admit that this plague is caused by a grave crisis in the spiritual life of the clergy, and fail to take the steps necessary to remedy it.
Mm.
Wow. That's Terry, prophet.
Robert Moynihan, I think he's red-pilled himself.
Yeah, you think? I know him quite well, too.
He's the editor of Inside the Vatican.
That's right, Inside the Vatican.
He asks Archbishop Vigano, he asks him this, quote, but what is your message really? That God is about to chastise the church? As Nineveh was threatened with destruction? Or do you think, Archbishop Vigano, do you believe there's still a chance to renew the church through prayer and a renewal of priestly and lay spirituality, close quote. So Archbishop Vigano, fixing his eyes on the burning, purifying thing that must come, yeah. Archbishop Vigano said this, quote,
what did he say?
The two possibilities you offer are not mutually exclusive. There may be both a chastisement, which will shake and diminish the church, and also a reform and renewal of the church, making her more resplendent in holiness. Mm. Both chastisement and renewal are possible. Terry, this guy to me is one of the prophets of the Catholic Church right now. And he's our new Jonah. He's our new John the Baptist. That's the way I see it.
Jesse, I'd offer him an hour at least on Virgin Most Powerful, but I know that would probably get his neck cut off because they'd find out where he's at. But he's a man of John the Baptist, right? He was very unpopular, remember, because of what he did? Well, Vigano's doing this and exposing the cancer in the church. And gosh, you know what? A lot of people are going to be upset. Think about this, Jess, and I've said this before, and I don't mean to scandalize you, but I've had priest friends who have their provincials doing work in the Vatican and telling me that they go to use the restroom and there's two Monsignors that are doing things and homosexual acts that they shouldn't even be thinking of doing, and they're doing it in the Vatican bathroom. See, we get orgies that are coming in. I mean, we've got just the news about the Secretary of the State. There's a police have just caught into the Vatican yesterday to check out some paperwork from the Vatican regarding misconduct on management of money. See, immorality and money go together, Jess. When there's morality being compromised, money follows. It's just how it works. And so we need to be praying for our church like we've never done before. As a matter of fact, Jess, I thought I prayed hard, you know, for most of my life. Nothing compared to the last year. No, nothing. Nothing. When Vigano broke that thing, I said, man, this guy's going to, I mean, we got to do everything for Jesus. We got to offer this for our church. Our church is a mess right now. And I say this because it's the bride of Christ. But, you know, we've been here before, Jess, and we come through. Why? Because people like you, listeners, are becoming saints. That's what's going to bring the church back in its glory. Each person becoming a saint.
That's right. And you know what? It all reminds me of what gives me hope is what's Revelation that, chapter 19. Oh. Is one day Jesus is going to come back in that white horse as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and take his bride home. Make sure you're in a state of grace and make sure you're part of that church, that remnant church.
When we come back, we're going to talk about who's controlling the media. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. It's a very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Latin lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady. I'm back, Terry.
And I'm the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of Our Lady. And Jesse, this next comment about who's running the media, this is a little shocking, but why don't you share with our listeners what you found out about this?
It shocks me, but it doesn't surprise me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It's just what it is.
It's like, this makes sense now.
Yeah. Think about it.
There's an article I have here says there's these six corporations control 90% of the media in America. They certainly don't control us at VMP.org.
Nope.
We're like, you know, they may have AR-15s, these guys, and bazookas. You know, we got a slingshot, but we could do a lot with a slingshot. It says 50 companies that were consolidated back in 1983. I've got an infographic I'll describe to you from last year, which shows that there are six countries that right now, by and large, control the media narrative. They own the news sites read by millions of Americans every single year.
Wow.
So which ones are they? Here they are. GE, number one. Number two, News Corp. Number three, Disney. Number four, Viacom. Number five, Time Warner. Number six, CBS. So these six companies, back in 1983, okay, 90% of American media was owned by 50 companies. That's back in 1983. By 2011, that same 90% of the media is now controlled by just six companies, six media giants. And this is dangerous, Terry, because back in 1983, we were applying more of the principle of subsidiarity.
That's right.
Things were shared. And people were operating at the lowest, you know, at the lowest, most minute form. Now, Terry, we're seeing a violation of the principle of subsidiarity.
That's right.
Where the larger is gobbling up the smaller, and now the larger is controlling most of what we hear in the media. And that's dangerous, Terry.
It is very dangerous. It is. And Jesse, you remember the UCLA report we had about the people who run the media and the news factors, what kind of people they are. Are they religious? Are they non-religious? And it was over 90% of the people
are secular.
Are secular. Liberals. Does that secular, say anything,
liberal,
Jess?
Secular, liberal, and Democrat.
Right. And so you wonder why the media is the way it is. Just look who's running the show. And that's why, again, Jess, here at Virgin Most Powerful, you know, we don't have people telling us, hey, you can't say this, you can't say that, because you know what? We're our own entity. And thank you, our listeners who support us to be able to speak. We couldn't do this. I'll be honest with you, Jess. I don't mean to keep beating the bush, but a couple years ago when we were on another radio station, we couldn't be talking like this. You know what they'd say? Hey, you're ruffling some feathers. You're going to make things miserable for us. Stop talking like that. Guess what? We're going to talk like that. And if they don't like it, too bad, because it's the truth. These statistics do not lie. This is who's running the media, and you need to be aware of this.
And I'm going to go even further than who's running the media. These six companies, again, this is how scary things have gotten.
Yeah.
In 1983, 90% of American media was owned by 50 companies. I like that because, you know, a lot of the influence of the media was being split by 50 companies. Yeah. I'm sure there were some good ones there. But now, in 2011, that same 90% of the media is controlled by only six companies.
Unbelievable.
Now, here's where I put my Catholic hat on.
Okay.
The Catechism says in paragraph 407, it says the devil has acquired a certain domination over man, even though man remains free. It says ignorance of the fact that man has a wounded nature called concupiscence, inclined to evil, gives rise to serious errors in the areas of education, politics, social, that means the media, social, and morals. So notice what the catechism is saying. It's saying, because all of us are at some level, I'll use a blue collar term, at some level we're all screwed up because of original sin and actual sin, okay? At some level, all of us are. Some more than others, you know, because we're bringing sanctifying grace into our soul as often as possible. So that gives us the ability to think properly, to form our mind conscious with the word of God. But Terry, I would venture to say that of most of these people in these six companies, I don't even want to mention the companies. I mean, I don't want to give them a platform there. I would say that most of these companies are probably run by secular humanists, liberal, progressive, atheists, non-believers, who have concupiscence on steroids. And it's these guys, through these six companies, that are promoting secular humanist thought, liberalism, culture of death principles. And this is what makes it dangerous, because these six companies are providing the information diet to over 300 million Americans every day, Terry.
Well, that's just the facts, and that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful, what do you hear from us? Yes, we tell you about the problems in the culture and the church, but what are we calling you every day to? Holiness. We're calling you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the sacraments. As a matter of fact, what I really enjoy about Virgin Most Powerful being here is that we get to talk about the most important thing in life, salvation. Because everything else, it's a mute point, really, Jess. Who's going to win the World Series coming up? Who cares? Really. Yeah. What's important is, how do we get to heaven? And when you have the media giving you stuff that's going to take you away, then you have to be aware of that, because I think sometimes people don't realize how the world, the devil, and the flesh operate, Jess. We think that, oh, no, that just can't be. They're not mean-spirited people that don't care about God. They're just nice people. Well, can I tell you something, Jess? They're not nice when they take you away from the truth. That's evil.
That's right. And, Terry, you know, there's, when you look at the New Testament, I'm going to make it very simple. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get very basic here. The New Testament, it talks about two teams out there. It really does. It says you have one team called the children of light.
Yep.
Those are the people that follow Jesus.
Team Jesus.
Yep. And then the other team is in the New Testament is called children of darkness or children of wrath.
Yeah.
Those are people that follow Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at New Testament theology, of which all of us as Catholics were bound by, Terry, there's no third option. You're either part of Team Jesus, children of light, or part of Team Satan, children of darkness. I would venture to say most of these media executives from these six conglomerates that basically are the engines for all the media, these six companies, GE, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS, I would venture to say that most of these would be children of darkness.
I think
I'm just guessing that most of these guys aren't living in a state of grace. They're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're governed to put out the media. They're governed by their passions or by their fallen nature. And this is again, what's dangerous is that as Catholics, we know that there's a struggle between good and evil. And St. John Paul II told us this. In 1979, he said, "We're now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity's ever experienced. I do not think the wide circle of the American society or the Christian community realizes fully. We're now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. This confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it is a trial which the church must take up and face courageously." Terry, I think we're living this out right now.
Jesse, he said that in Philadelphia in 1976 as the cardinal, where Mother Teresa and Bishop Sheen were at the Eucharistic Congress. I'll never, ever forget that. But I want to also, Jesse, say we have a solution here at Virgin Most Powerful. And we call it the five stones. And I'll just mention a couple of them. Jess mentioned it this earlier this week, and we decided we're going to tell people this every single day because we need action items, right? We need something. What are you going to do? Well, I hope you're going to fast on Fridays, okay? Get back to fasting for the church. You're going to pray your daily rosary. You're going to go to Mass as often as you can. You're going to get to confession at least once a month. Bingo. You're going to read your Bible daily.
The five stones of David.
The five stones of David. You got it.
We're going to mention that every day at the end of the show. Remember, the five stones of David killed Goliath. And so these are the five stones for the Catholic Christian today, following in the footsteps of the greatest warrior in the Old Testament, King David.
Yep.
Terry just said it. Daily rosary. Mass as often as possible.
Right.
Read the Bible every day.
Yep.
Let's go back to old school penance on Fridays. The code of canon law says penance on Friday. Let's go back to fasting and abstinence every Friday, even beyond Lent, and monthly confession. If you do that, you're going to be like nuclear power for the Catholic Church, because your holiness affects Holy Mother Church, and your sinfulness also affects in a negative manner the mystical body of Christ, Holy Mother Church.
And that's consistent with Our Lady of Fatima's message. She came down over 100 years ago and said this, that more souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. So do that. And remember what I said earlier, this is the feast of the guardian angel. Take that advice about saying the angel prayer for your kids, for your grandchildren, every single day.
Why don't you wrap it up with that prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. O angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, forever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide. From sinful stain, O keep me free, and in death's hour, my helper be. Remember, check your catechism of the Catholic Church out, paragraphs 328 to 336, because you know what? If you have a devotion to your guardian angel, you're going to be way ahead of this game of salvation, because you need a friend. He's the best friend you never knew you had. So try to get to know your guardian angel.
Yes, have a relationship with him by that prayer every day, every evening, throughout the day when you feel temptation. And I will tell you one thing.
What's that?
Guardian angels have several assignments. One of the assignments that a guardian angel has, according to the Catholic Church, is they have the assignment of protecting you against demons. And so I'll just give it to you in a very blue-collar style.
Good.
Guardian angels have power to give the beat down against demons. How you like that for UFC language?
I love it. You know why? Because we're in a battle. We're in a war. St. Paul uses military language. Why can't we, Jess?
Right.
And I love Archbishop Viganò's language. Tomorrow, we're going to talk regarding Monsignor Charles Pope, his comments about Archbishop Viganò's third letter. This is a fantastic article. You won't want to miss it here at Virgin Most Powerful. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. And how do you live in a state of grace? You got to apply those five stones of David every day. Put that in your war bag, the five stones of David, and that'll help you live in a state of grace. Do not live in the state of mortal sin. If you live in the state of mortal sin, run to confession, pick up those five stones and apply them into your life. Terry.
Well said. Again, I want to thank all of you who have been supporting Virgin Most Powerful. We're going to have 2 years coming up in January. So thanks for being a monthly donor. And may God richly bless you and your family. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.